To Want a Boy by Bert Schrader. Chapter 1. It must have been close to midnight. The monotony of the engine's roar was making my head begin to nod and my eyelids droop. I had the big Kenworth down to compound for over half an hour, but now I could see the top of the mountain up ahead. That's when I saw him. I've never minded picking up hitchhikers. At night, especially, they can help keep a trucker awake. Sleep is the big enemy, and I feared it a lot more than I did picking up a dangerous criminal. This guy had enough sense to stop at the top of the hill. I certainly wouldn't have bothered on the grade where it would have meant a lot of shifting and just plain hard work to have stopped. It was a black, black night, and as I opened the door for him and got a look at his face, I knew I'd made a bad mistake. He was young, not over 21 or 22, neat, short-cut blonde hair, and a grin that covered his whole boyish face. I got an ache in my gut just looking at him. He was too much like my boy. My Tad. He climbed up into the cab, and I shifted on down to double compound. "How far are you going?" he asked. "San Diego, L.A., on up to Frisco." I kept my eyes on the road, and my voice had a monotone that plainly said, "Don't bother me, boy." "My name's Bob Archer. Mind if I ride along as far as L.A.?" His voice was warm and friendly. I shrugged and hunched over the wheel. "Okay by me," I said. "I met an agent in Dallas that said he thought he'd get me some work in TV or the movies if I'd come out. I wasn't working. No strings attached, so what the hell? Might as well take a crack at it." I could tell he was facing me as he talked, but I didn't look at him. I could feel the palms of my hands against the wheel, wet and clammy. The hair on my chest was matted with cold sweat. Already I was figuring how I'd get rid of this boy. I'd pull into the next diner, give the kid some money, and tell him to get us two coffees to go. As soon as he got inside, I'd be gone. The smallest bill I had on me was a five, but hell, I owed him that much. It wasn't his fault that I was a... Funny, I've got to write this all down. I've got to get it up out of my gut and onto paper where it can't eat my insides out. But when a man gets to be 40, has a wife and three kids, has accepted his life as it is and resigned himself to it, then to find suddenly that he wants not a female, but a male to love, a knife gets inside you and twists and jabs until the pain is so deep... Well, I'd drive through the night and think about twisting the big wheel. Just once. That's all it would take. Ride my beautiful rig over the cliff and down the steep sides of the mountain. And now, here was this kid, sitting there just a foot or so away from me, and I wanted him so bad my cock was on fire. Then he said something, but my mind was so tied in knots I hadn't heard. "Huh?" I grunted. "I asked what was giving you the hots," the kid said, and there was a boldness in his voice that sickened me. I shot him a quick glare and turned back to the road. "None of your goddamn business," I growled finally. "I gotta take a piss, if you must know." "Don't you have no piss bags?" he asked. "Mind your own business," I grumbled, and now I was really looking for that diner. It couldn't be more than 5 miles farther. "Don't get sore," the kid said, but his voice was too sure, too positive. "Listen, I haven't got no cash, and it's a long way to L.A. If you'll go my meals, I'll take care of that for you." So now it was out. I hunched further over the wheel, trying to ignore him, but my body was screaming. "For God's sakes, man, now's your chance to find out the truth. This kid is not Tad. He's nothing but a male whore. Who would know? Even more important, who would actually care?" Finally, I could see the lights of the diner up ahead, and relieved not to have to make a decision, I pulled in. I handed the kid the five. "Get us a couple coffees, will you, kid? I gotta take a leak." And I opened the big door and crawled down. I went to the John, but of course I couldn't go. Not for some time, anyway. I should have stayed in the cab and gotten out of there. I didn't have anything to prove to that kid. I hurried back out, climbed up into the rig, and there he was with a coffee, sitting there waiting for me. I'd like to have wiped the deck with the grin he was wearing. I slammed the door shut and pulled my starter. The big diesel caught and roared to life. He handed me my change, and after I'd pocketed it, I put the rig in gear and we moved back out on the highway. And now I had to know. I'd thrown my chance to dump him, and I knew I'd probably done it on purpose. "What made you think I was... you know." Shit, I couldn't even say the word, but I hadn't even considered anyone thinking of me as queer, and this really bugged me. I've always considered myself about as masculine as they come. I'm big, 6'3", 205 pounds. I played tackle in football. I'm hairy. They didn't call me the ape for nothing. Well, I just couldn't figure out how this kid had pegged me so easy. I looked over at him when he didn't answer, and before I could look back at the road, I was already getting another hard-on. "I didn't call you no queer, mister," he said confidently. "Hell, I just thought, because you're a trucker, you're away from home a lot. You look like a guy that needs a lot of sex." That was a laugh, but I didn't feel much laughing. "God, you're a big one," he whistled. Embarrassed, I tried to move my rod out of the way, but it was jammed in tight against my Levi's. "Why be miserable? pull off up here and I'll have you fixed up in a jiffy. And now my face burned and my chest heaved with wild anticipation completely foreign to me. I've never tried it before. I tried to sound casual, but my shaking voice gave me away. You don't know what you're missing. What's your name, anyway?
Bert.
Bert Schrader. I don't know. I've always hated the idea. I can't figure what's ailing my cock, though. Shit, I can't go clear to San Diego like this. I'm choking to death. Tom slid over in his seat and laid his hand on the bulge on my pants. I gasped in a lungful and... Yeah, that's it. I gasped in a lungful and knew that I should knock out the son of a bitch clear across the cab, but I didn't. I was paralyzed with excruciatingly sensuous sensations. Needles of fire screamed through my body, and if a cow had stepped out of the highway, I would have run it down before I could have hit the brake. I knew I would have to stop. This was damn dangerous, but I hated the final surrender, having to face this cocky kid, having to finally admit the truth to myself. Well, you don't pull a huge truck and trailer off the road just any place. I kept looking for a long shoulder, but they were all small, tucked in the inside of curves. I could feel Bob fumble with the zipper of my Levi's. It nearly panicked me. Frantically, I searched for a place, any place. The flames were racing through my body, making my legs and arms twitch and jerk. We'd crash for sure if I didn't pull his hand away, and honest to God, I could not. I was like a helpless infant writhing under this boy's caress. His hand slid into the opening and skimmed down from the top of my shorts. He touched my cock and I literally jumped in the seat. He tried to pull it out, but I was too big and my pants were too tight. And then we were on a straightaway and there was plenty of shoulder. I pulled over and stopped. I lifted off the seat while he skinned my pants down, shorts and Levi's together with one quick motion. Then he had my heated rod in his hands, and his tender touch seared my super-sensitive flesh until it was actually a pain, stabbing the very core of my being. With his free hand, he loosened his own pants and then slid them down. He was small, but his tool was cocked, and though I felt a revulsion at my own desperate desires, I reached over and fondled the forbidden fruit. He turned away from me, and I removed my hand, thinking he didn't want to be touched, but he grabbed my big paw and placed it back on his hard flesh. The sensuously soft skin stretched over his little cock made even my hand burn. And my chest began to heave, and I didn't think I could bear the sensation sweeping over me another second. He heisted his rump toward me and guided my rod toward his ass. I sucked in my breath. I must be infantile, because all I'd thought of was, well, fondling. But now that those cheeks came at me, his caresses were not enough, and I knew that I could not live until I rammed my rod into him. I was very hot, already leaking. He spread the fluid around the head for lubrication, and then I held my cock to his ass, and I grabbed his stomach and groin and slowly entered him. The tight muscles were too much, and in a frenzy of quaking spasms, I milked my sperm into his loins. Exhausted, I fell over on him, still cupping his balls in my hands. Bob let me rest there a second or two, and then began to move about rubbing his tool in my hands. That's when I realized that this must be a two-way street. I cringed at the idea of letting a man, any man, defile my bowels, but I knew that I deserved it, and it was certainly his right. "Do you want to do it to me?" I asked finally.
"No,"
he whispered hoarsely, his voice still thick with passion. He turned and lay in my arms. "Just hold me a while. Then you can trigger me the next time around." "What?" I asked. "I can rub you now." "No," he grinned. "Keep touching me, but I want it from inside." I had never realized, I guess I had never even thought about it, that a man could feel anything from the inside. He lay, like a woman, in my arms, and I fondled his little jack and massaged his soft bag. I was surprised to find at my age that I was again becoming aroused. "You've got a beautiful cock," Bob said, and before I could stop him, he reached over and ran his tongue across the head. I groaned, "Oh, God," and stiffened. The wild, erotic feel of that tongue rasping across the pulsing flesh sent a shiver clear through my body, and before I could breathe again, he sucked in the quaking organ, and his tongue began pulsing lightly at the base of the head. It was too much. Never had lips touched my big, lonely cock, and I squelched out a yell, then rattled it around in my gut, tying it up in knots. I pulled him away. He quickly turned away and again raised his rear. I gripped him tight and rammed my rod into his tight, heated membranes. He worked actively against me in a wanton display of animal need. I sounded deep, and the deeper I went, the more masculine I felt. Intoxicatingly, deliriously masculine. I was the conqueror, the all-powerful lord, the mighty stag, and my tool was the biggest and strongest weapon ever owned by man. All the years of frustration, all the miserable years of resignation washed away from me, and I was free and filled with an overpowering emotion. Never again would I question my manhood. Never again would I live in a world without color, without zest, without love. As our fervor increased, it seemed that I had climbed higher, traveled farther, felt more emotion than I had ever known existed. The muscles in my powerful thighs turned to boulders of power, and I slammed my cock into him like a pile driver, and he met me with all the strength he had. And then my brain exploded, and we churned in a shuddering, grinding climax as I spewed my seed deep into his body, and felt the thrill of his body shiver against me as he spurted out his fluid into my waiting hand. Then we fell together, racked with the afterspasms, the quivering, satisfying rapture. I held him to me, still clutching his genitals, and my heart ached with the warm feel as his limb returned to normal and grew soft and caressable in my hand. He was like a boy, like my little boy that I had never touched. I knew then that it was all true. I was a homo. For the first time since I first guessed the truth, I felt no shame, at least not the way I'd expected. I suddenly knew, too, that I had probably always been a queer, but this didn't seem important anymore.